In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because of my accent, or lack thereof, I suppose, people are often surprised to learn that I was born in Mississippi. I lived my entire life in Mississippi, except for 3 years that we were at Suwanee for seminary, where it always amused me that people from South Carolina thought they were from the South. You got to go north to get to where they are. You people live up north from Macomb. There's not much below Macomb except for a bit of Louisiana and Mexico. So I'm from the South. So I don't really know the feeling of exile, where some people have had to leave the South or wherever they left and then just feel out of place. They can't wait to get back. I have begun to feel that way about the Delta. When I get amongst hills and curves and roads, it just feels wrong. You should be able to see for miles and be able to pass whenever you want to on the highway. That's the way God intended it. So that's why I love the Delta, among other things. But our reading from Jeremiah is when people are returning from exile. They have lived a generation or two in Assyria, in Babylon, amongst strangers, away from their land. And they can't wait to get back. They can't wait to get back to where they belong. And I do know that feeling when I'm away from here for a while. I can't wait to get back. As enjoyable as it is to be away, it's good to be back. The people of Israel were in exile and returned. And what does that have to do with Christmas? Why do we read that here on the second Sunday after Christmas when we're reading about wise men as well? Well, they were away from their home. They had traveled for miles to get to the place where Jesus was born. They had no idea where they were going. All they knew was that a star had appeared, signifying something miraculous, the birth of a king. And so they went to where there was a king, to where Herod was. And said, "Dude, good news, right? Y'all had a birth?" And Herod's like, "What? No, I don't know what you're talking about." And Herod trembled, and all Jerusalem with him. That's an amazing bit of statement there, especially if you know about Herod. Herod was not a nice guy, if you had any thoughts otherwise. Herod was jealous of members of his own family and had them executed if he thought they were going to try to usurp his throne. And so now here are these strangers. We assume three. Bible doesn't say. We don't know how many kings there were. Probably not three. They travel in bigger packs. And they weren't kings. But aside from that, it's a perfectly good hymn. They come in and Herod is like, "There's a new guy? What in the world? Okay, fine. Dudes, where is he supposed to be? Scribes, Pharisees, look this up. I'm not as conversant with scripture as you guys. Where is this supposed to be happening?" And they find this verse in the prophets about Bethlehem. And he says, "Well, that's just down the road. Y'all go there and listen. I really want to worship this new king. So you come back and you tell me about it." That is not what Herod wanted. If you've read the rest of the story, he ends up killing all the little boys in Bethlehem out of hopes of keeping this king from rising to power, which is why people trembled whenever Herod got nervous. Because when Herod got nervous, people died. So the wise men go and they find the place where the child was, the house there. We have the wise men in a stable here because we don't have a separate house to put them in. But by the time the wise men got to Jesus, they weren't still in the stable. They were in a house. In fact, Matthew's gospel doesn't even mention a stable at all. It doesn't mention them living in Nazareth to begin with. They live in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph. They have a house there. They have a job there. They have a life there. And the child is born. And then a couple of years later, these strangers from the east show up with presents. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, of all things. I love the memes on Facebook where it's the wise women bringing diapers and casseroles. But gold, frankincense, and myrrh have symbolical meanings, which we're not going to get into today. I got other fish to fry with this. Come back next year. We'll have the same reading. They're in exile from their home. They're away from home because they're seeking out something amazing. And they find it. And they're bogged down in intrigue from the court and machinations from Herod, and they get strange dreams and they shouldn't go back to Herod, go back another way, and so they hightail it out of town. But even they aren't the only ones in exile. We usually don't think of it this way, but Jesus was in exile. We use the metaphor, the imagery of Jesus as the Son of God, but it misses the point a bit that the Son is fully God. Our understanding of the Holy Trinity is that all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are all equally God. And in Philippians, it tells us that Jesus, the Son, didn't think holding on to that divinity was something to be done, but emptied himself and became human for our sake. For his earthly existence, Jesus was in exile, away from the heavenly throne, incarnate in a way that had never happened before or since, that God became incarnate, took time out to become one of us, to live in exile among us, and at the end of his time returned home, not dying peacefully in his sleep, as we would hope to do perhaps, but executed by the state on trumped up charges, tortured, killed, dead, buried, and rose again for our salvation. But even before then, it was no picnic. It was 33 years, give or take, of being one of us when you are God. We can't even fathom that. We can't imagine that. It just doesn't work. It's as ridiculous as a child drawing a picture out of crayon and then becoming part of the picture, hanging there on the refrigerator with the rest of the stuff. It doesn't make any sense. And yet that's what God did. God became incarnate. God became human in Jesus Christ for us. Lived that time in exile for us. And then just as the children of Israel returned from exile, just as we come home after the end of our journeys, Jesus returns home and invites us along. And that's really the amazing thing and the important part, that Christ became human so that we can have eternal life with God, to bridge that gap between the eternal and the divine and the temporal and the mundane. That in Jesus Christ, we are brought into communion with God, that the divine meets the mud. That's why we celebrate Christmas for 12 days. It takes a lot of time to celebrate something so amazing, that God became incarnate, that God loves us enough to become one of us and to draw us into God's self. So whenever we're feeling like we're in exile, we're away from home, we know that home is always there, whether it's the Delta, but more importantly, our heavenly home, that we get to spend eternity with God because of what God did for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.